Praise the Lord. Well, let's just open up the word because I'm always excited. I'm like Nora. There's no other way really to describe it because it's exciting. I mean, it sounds like a limited vocabulary, and we do have, I guess that's why we speak in tongues, because we have a limited vocabulary. At least I do. Some of you may have a more extensive one than I have. But the one I have is kind of limited when I start trying to describe spiritual matters. And so if I get off over into a language you don't understand, don't worry about it. I'm still saved. Praise God. Open your Bible, please, to Proverbs, the 20th chapter. And it's a familiar verse of Scripture in that some of you probably have heard it before. But you know, we're getting new people constantly at Redeeming Love Christian Center. And as pastors, our job is to feed all of the flock, not those who've been around longer than others. But in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse, or I should say the 27th verse, let's read it together. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Let's read it again. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Hold your place there and turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to read a couple of verses of Scripture together. Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." 16th verse. The Spirit itself, and if you haven't changed that in your Bible, it's Himself, because the Spirit is not, Spirit of God is not a it. He's a person, okay? The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, let's look at those two things. In Proverbs 20:27, it's talking about the Spirit of who? Okay? And in Romans, it's talking about what? The Spirit of God. Okay? So obviously, the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God are two different things, two different personalities. But what our whole purpose in this lesson today is to cause you to begin to learn how to unite and coordinate the spirit of man with the spirit of God. And since God is smarter than we are, which one do you think ought to be in the lead? The spirit of God, obviously, right? Can you imagine? It's like there's a verse of scripture in Psalms, I think it is, that talks about you make these idols and things to worship with your hands, and then you turn around and worship. Now, that's stupid. Something that I can make with my hands, build with my hands, form with my hands, I'm going to turn around and worship it. Well, it's obviously inferior to me if I made it. Okay? But we, being made in the image and likeness of God, have human spirits, and the whole purpose of God making us in His image and in His likeness was for Him to allow us to be led by His Spirit, because that's how He's going to communicate with us. And what He wants to communicate with us is the secrets of the universe. Not secret to God, but the secret to man, because man is limited in their knowledge now through the fall. But we talked about, this is our fifth lesson together, I believe. Our original lesson was before man was, or in the very beginning, prior to man being created. And then the second lesson was about creation, and I'm sharing this with you so that if you don't have these messages, in order to follow where we are now, you really do need to listen to the previous lessons, talking about God's masterpiece, which is creation. Then we talked about the fall of man, or fall giving birth to reason. And last week when we were together, what a blessed message that was. I went back home. I got blessed all over again from listening to it. Alienated through ignorance, which was really telling us that even though there had been a fall, there was redemption and what redemption brought to us. And so fear and accusation followed immediately in the fall. We discovered that last week. Obviously, there is something that happened beyond or following redemption of man that we have to know about. And that's the reason for this lesson today. I should say the Spirit of God began to minister to me. I kind of wanted to know, well, now, Lord, after you deal with the fall and man being redeemed, there are several ways that you can go. You know, you can begin to teach on faith, you begin to teach on prayer, you can begin to teach on intercession, the gifts of the Spirit, any number of things. But the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit and he said, Sarah, what did you need to know, or what was the most important single lesson that you heard after you discovered that you were a child of God? And I thought about it, and I remembered going to Hawaii and hearing Dr. Kenneth Hagin teach on how to be led by the Spirit of God. I had never even thought about being led by the Spirit of God. I didn't know you could be led by the Spirit of God. But more than having learned about faith, more than having learned about prayer, because I found out that when I'm led by the Spirit of God, I can pray a lot less. Because I can sit and listen to the voice of God speaking to me. I don't have to say a word. God will begin to tell me that I need to know, not just for my benefit personally. He'll tell me things to avoid. He'll give me directions to go in. And there is only success in following the Spirit of God. But when you don't even know that you're supposed to sit and listen to God. When Jesus would pull aside and pray all night long, we think, can you imagine talking all night long? No. Jesus would pull aside away from the crowd. And while he talked to the Father, I dare say he listened a lot more. That's why he was able to hear those things that the Father wanted him to do. He never acted on his own about anything. He says, I do only those things that I hear my Father say. Well, you have to be still and quiet in order to hear. So for me personally, the most important thing that I learned was how to be led by the Spirit of God, or being led by the Spirit of God. And as I said, I didn't even know that you were supposed to be. But I realized that there are many voices, like Corinthians says, there are many voices out there speaking. How in the world do I distinguish between God's voice speaking to me and all those other voices? And we're going to find out today. In fact, on this coming Sunday, I told them to make up some extra labels, because I am so convinced that God is going to impart some truths to you through this lesson today, that I am going to tell the people today or on Sunday, if you absolutely do not have the money to buy this tape, you see me personally, because I'll arrange for you to get it. I'll buy it for you. That's how absolutely convinced I am that it is essential to your growth. And if you begin to train your recreated human spirit to hear the voice of God, all the other things, that the peripheral things that we've been dealing with, will become less important, and you'll be able to do just what it says. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It is the light. It is the searchlight that's searching the inward parts of the belly, or your innermost being. It is God's spirit. The spirit of man is where God is able to get, and we're going to find out how he gets to our innermost being to begin to search out the things that's in our heart, which determines, as far as God is concerned, what we're all about. And so there in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching. He's looking through our inward parts. He has access because of our spirit being recreated to match His spirit. His spirit is the Holy Spirit. Ours is the recreated human spirit. And back in Romans, I want you to see something there that the Spirit of God began to show me. Actually, you can't read the 14th verse without backing up to the 13th verse. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live for as many as are led. And if you just scratch out that word for and put because. Okay, so we're going to go back and read it, inserting the word because there. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live because as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And then it goes on to say, we've not received the spirit of bondage and so forth. But it says, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That recreated human spirit that we're talking about is that factor in the Amplified says, that factor in the human personality that proceeds immediately from God. Our spirit, our new recreated human spirit, and that is a spirit that has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. That factor in human personality is what proceeds immediately from God. Proverbs, the 27th chapter, and the, I believe I want the 19th verse. Yes, I do. 19th verse. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. What on earth does that mean? As you look into a basin of water or into a river of water, what are you going to see? A reflection of your face. Is that true? Of course. Well, it says, as in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Your heart is what's going to reflect the real you. You look different from the lady sitting next to you. The two of you look different from John sitting next to you. John looks different from Mary, and so on. But your heart knows the real you. When you look into a basin of water or a river of water, all you're going to see is the outward appearance that is subject to change at any given time. But your heart knows the real you. Your heart knows the real you, and God is searching with His Spirit into your heart to help the real you surface. So many of us, it took a number of years for me to finally stop chasing the rainbows and stop chasing after things that was not satisfying, to allow the real Sarah, that little girl that I remember 5 years old, wanting to serve God so bad, I didn't know what in the world to do, didn't know how to, and unfortunately was not exposed to anybody that knew how to. But as the Spirit of God began to take me back, I was able to reflect how from 5 years old, the only thing I ever wanted to do was serve God. I loved Jesus. I loved the Lord. But, you know, I got up and they told me I was an attractive little kid. You know, and attractive little girls are supposed to be popular, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to wear this. And I went through all these changes, and the next thing I know, I was remolded into something that I didn't hardly recognize. But I got caught up in the system, if you will, in what other people dictated that I should be instead of following my heart from a five-year-old kid. And one day when I finally decided, I could live in a shack if I had to, but I couldn't live without Jesus. I finally decided one day that I could do without all the luxuries and comforts, and I enjoy them, but I have arrived at that point, sweetheart, that I can do without every single creature comfort on this earth, because wherever I am, I'm with Jesus. I don't know anything about poverty. I don't know anything about sickness. I don't know anything about fear. And I've had all the creature comforts in the world and found myself standing on the 32nd floor of a balcony getting ready to jump off. So things don't make you happy. Things don't bring you joy. They only minister temporarily to your flesh. And after a while, the thing that you thought you had to have, once you get it, sooner or later, it's going to be, the novelty of it is going to wear off and your flesh is going to want something else. But I'm telling you, when your spirit accepts the reality of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has provided for you, you can do without anything and anybody in this whole world and just enjoy Jesus. That's why people behind bars can worship the Lord and they can endure that. When people out here in the so-called freedom can't. You are only free in Christ Jesus, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. And it doesn't matter whether you're behind the iron curtain, you're in prison, you're on your job. I must admit that I have difficulty understanding when people are on a job and they talk about, well, I'm the only Christian there and everybody is persecuting. It looks to me like your light ought to shine that much brighter. You have not allowed yourself to let Jesus become a reality. You have not allowed the Spirit of God to become as full and complete as He wants to be in your life if you are still disturbed by the people and the things around you. Amen. I mean, you are supposed to be the one disturbing them, not them disturbing you. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And so it says there, as in water, faith answers to faith, so the heart of man to man. And you know, when your true personality, when the real you surfaces, when that human personality that has proceeded from God just surfaces, do you know there's something called kindred spirits? People who have the same heart, the same desires that you have will begin to be attracted to you. You won't have to communicate. You won't have to say a thing in the world. You will suddenly wonder, why am I drawn to her? Why am I drawn to him? You are drawn spirit to spirit, not because they look a certain way or they are a certain color or not a certain color. It's your spirit and their spirit that's united. You are tuned in with God's Holy Spirit, and that's what's important, and that's what causes. That's the unity that people ought to look for in a relationship, not, you know, St. Patrick's Day because all the Irish get together, Columbus Day because all the Italians get together, and Black History Week, you know, on Martin Luther King's birthday. And that is so superficial and so unimportant that, I mean, when we get together in one accord, spirit to spirit, that's when things are going to shake. That's when the earthquakes are going to occur. That's when the power of God is going to flow. Well, I can go on forever, but we better stop here and go on. Turn to Psalm 119, 130. We quote this an awful lot, but some of you may not know exactly where it is in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance. Obviously, the Word of God is not automatically within us, even when we're born again. It has to enter into the heart of man. Okay? The entrance of thy Word does not bring darkness. It goes in there like the lamp of God that it talked about over there in Proverbs 20. It goes in there as a searchlight to dispel the darkness. Now, this room, this sanctuary was extremely dark about 9 o'clock this morning. There wasn't a light on in here. Fortunately, I've been around this place so much that I can actually come through here in the dark and don't bump into anything. I mean, because I watched it being built. I was here every day. But most of you would walk into one of the poles or the chairs or stumble or do something. But the moment Ed flick the switch to turn the lights on, darkness was dispelled just like that. It was gone. But you have to turn the switch off to get darkness back in here again. You have to turn the switch of the Word of God off from entering into your heart if there's going to be darkness. But as long as you keep the switch of faith turned on, you keep the switch of His Word, that hunger and thirsting after righteousness in your heart for the truth of God's Word, there's going to be light. So the Word has to enter in. It doesn't automatically come with salvation. It says it gives understanding to the simple. So all of us qualify. None of us were in such bad shape that the Word of God cannot make us a super giant. Because most of us think that we weren't simple, but when it came to spiritual things, we all were simple. Okay? And I thank God that while I may have been simple, I don't have to be simple anymore, because the entrance of His Word has brought light so that I am no longer simple. Now, I said that fear and accusation followed immediately in the fall. You remember I said that Adam, last week when I was talking to you, I said, prior to the fall, listen to me carefully for those of you who weren't here, I said prior to Adam eating of that fruit and Eve eating of the fruit, there was no communication at all with God verbally. Everything was by spirit. God told him what to eat, Adam didn't comment. God told him what not to eat, Adam still didn't comment. God brought before all the animals and the insects before him and said, name them. He never questioned, well, I don't know who they are, I don't know what to call them. He never said a word. He accepted the responsibility. When God put him to sleep and took part of his rib and made this woman and presented her to him, Adam never commented at all. Why? Because God was leading, God's Spirit was speaking, God was giving the directions, and as far as Adam was concerned prior to the fall, that settled it. He believed it. If God said it, that settled it. There was no need for him to question God. There was no need to talk to God about it. But the moment he bit into that fruit, when God came into the garden and asked him, you know, where was he? The very first thing, who told him he was naked? Because, you know, he said he hid himself because he was naked. He didn't even know. If you read back in the first chapter, he didn't even know he was naked up until eating of that fruit. And he certainly wasn't ashamed, because it says so in Genesis 1:29. They weren't ashamed. But now, after biting into the fruit, they were not only ashamed, but they were hiding themselves. So God said, well, who told you you were naked? And he didn't even bother to answer God. The very first thing he did was accuse the woman and not answer God's question. I mean, he just blew the whole thing. So it's better, you know what I'm saying? It's better for us to do less talking and more listening. That's why we have been restored to the right original place that Adam had. So it's not necessary for us to talk to God as much with our limited vocabulary as it is for us to talk to God with our spirit, which is unlimited. Spirit to spirit. God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So what you need to do and I need to do is begin to use less words and allow what's really in our heart to communicate to God. And I'm telling you, if you get still and get quiet, this entire message came this week as a result of me spending time last Monday. My husband came down here and I sat and prayed in the Spirit, and I almost couldn't write fast enough for what the Spirit was telling me. Now, yes, I study, but he gave me what to study. He told me what was needed to go after redemption. He said, Sarah, go back to what was important to you. Do you know anything more important than being led by my Spirit? Because even after I pray, it's still a good idea for me to be led by God's Spirit. Even after I'm operating in faith, I better have the Spirit of God, because my faith is progressive. But God's wisdom is not progressive. God's wisdom is available to me at all times. So fear, he expressed fear. He was afraid and he accused the woman. So right away, you know, he was off the beaten path. But immediately following the fall, fear and accusation occurred. So what do you think should be immediately following the new birth? Faith and assuming responsibility. Because see, prior to the fall, Adam assumed responsibility. Whatever God said was perfectly all right. He operated in trusting God completely. Well, when we get born again, that's the area that we need to begin to be developed in. Faith and assuming responsibility. And that means making your faith work, causing some works. Because if you don't assume responsibility, your faith is going to stay very limited. Okay? The Amplified says there of Psalm 119, 130, and the unfolding of the word gives life, and he gives understanding to every believer, comprehension, discernment. Everyone, every single believer receives the unfolding of the word of God, and those who were simple now can believe, comprehend, and discern as a result of allowing the word of God to enter into our hearts. Now, in Proverbs 1:23, I shared this with the ladies in the women's fellowship on Saturday. The first chapter in the 23rd verse, well, why don't we just turn over there? It talks about the fact that God, especially in the New International Version, it talks about the fact that God wants to pour out his heart to us. It says, you turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. Well, we know that the spirit of God is his heart. Our spirit is our heart. It's the core. It's the center, of us. It's the thing that causes us to function. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. That is a desire of God's heart, to make his heart known to us through his words entering into our hearts. God's desire is to pour out his heart or his spirit, to make his thoughts and his words known unto us. And since I said that faith and assuming responsibility should immediately follow being born again, I want you to know that babies, faith, and assuming responsibility don't mix very well. When you and I are first born again, when we first accept Jesus Christ as Lord, we are babes in Christ. We are like infants coming home from the hospital. We don't know which end is up. We don't know the time of day we're supposed to sleep. We don't know when we're supposed to eat. Everything is done for us. But God does not want us to remain in that state. He did not send Jesus so that we could be a bunch of spiritual infants. He sent Jesus so that we, by allowing his spirit to lead our spirit, would cause us to develop into a position where we become teachers to others and help the other babies. You know, at some point we're supposed to be the babysitters and not the babies. But you have to, now can you imagine Deacon Lewis brought little Sarah down here last night for me to babysit. She's going to be 3 years old on Good Friday. Suppose I was 3 years old. Do you think she would have left her child with me? If she'd be in worse shape than we would have been if she had. No, you don't leave babies with babies. You leave babies with those who've assumed responsibility. Well, the same thing happens in spiritual things. We have to grow up. That's why you're down here. That's why other people buy these tapes. You have to grow up to the point that God will then begin to entrust those who are coming into Christ, into fellowship with you, into a Bible study where you are teaching, or into a general conversation where you can help head them in the right direction. And that should be your goal. Accepting Jesus means operating in faith and assuming responsibility so that nobody will have to continue to give me directions. I'll get my directions by the Holy Spirit, but I'll be in a position for those who don't know yet to be led by the Spirit of God to get their directions from God through you. But God is not going to have babies being directed through people who are not assuming responsibility of their new birth in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? Praise God. Okay, so we're going to be led. Oh yeah, this was something I got yesterday morning, praying in the Spirit in bed before I got out. It's so exciting. My husband and I this morning, we had breakfast at 5 o'clock because after rehearsal last night, we went home and we slept about 3 or 4 hours. And by 3:30, you know, we try to pretend like we're not awake. But when you start wiggling in the bed, because neither one of us, you know, wiggle. So I turn over a couple of times and he turns over a couple of times. Finally at 3:30, I said to him, no, about 4 o'clock, I said to him, would you like to have breakfast now and talk? So that maybe later on we can go back to sleep for a couple of hours and we won't have to get up for breakfast. And he laughed. He said, oh, you too, huh? I mean, he was going through the concert and I was going through the seating arrangements for the guests and this and that and the other. And so we got up and we had breakfast and we just sat there. And of course at 5:30, you know, by that time, you're ready to go back to sleep. But yesterday morning I was lying there in the bed and I was praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit. Now, how do I know it's the Spirit of God? Because I was edified. How do I know God spoke to me? Because I was built up. I was encouraged. I was bright. When you're not being led by the Spirit of God, you don't get bright and alive and alert. I mean, you know, you're ready to get up and let's get it on now. And God said to me, Sarah, all of creation, all of my human beings, all of the human creation are spirit beings. And you need to tell them, because they are spirit beings, they are going to be influenced by spiritual forces. Now, either they are going to be led by my spirit, or they're going to be driven by the other spirit. And that's the way I have learned to be able to distinguish whether it's God speaking to me or whether it's the devil trying to get a message through there. If it flows, if I am enlightened by it, if I am encouraged by it, even when my head says, that's the craziest thing you've ever thought to do, something on the inside of me says, let's get it on. This is going to be fun. But God's Spirit gently leads us. He never pushes. If you are being pushed to move, to change your job, to get married, to do whatever, it's not the Spirit of God, and you need to back off whoever is pushing you, because it will end up in disaster. Either end up in disaster or God will end up having to try to rescue you from the mess. But it's something, it's the inward voice, and I'll talk a little bit about that. It's the inward witness. It's your knowing. He said, while my word says that as many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God, he says many of my children are not being led by my Spirit. The provision is there for my Spirit to lead them. But if they don't train their spirit on knowing the difference between being led by my Spirit, their spirit is going to reach out for another spiritual force. I mean, it's just trained to do that. It's going to, that's how we came to Christ, if you don't know it, if you didn't know it. That's exactly how we came to Jesus. It was our spirit. You know, when we would do some of those raunchy, ugly things that we used to do, and we knew it wasn't right, and but something would keep drawing us back to church, and something would keep drawing us back to situations where we would listen to Christian music or something. It was our spirit reaching out for God's spirit, and of course this other spiritual force keeps trying to get in the way to break the connection. Okay? But your spirit is not always your flesh. Your spirit is always searching to be in touch, in communication with another, a superior spiritual force. And the only superior spiritual force for the believer is the Spirit of God. But yet the devil has such a strong spiritual force out there that if we aren't led by the Spirit of God, our spirits not being trained to follow God will then find ourselves being pushed by this other force. You follow me? So God had told me to share that with you. There's no way that you're not going to submit or yield to one or the other. And the object is to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God so that you don't have to get pushed by the spiritual forces of the enemy. I'm going to get off page one in a minute. My goodness. Okay. Many things can be taught to a new believer and should be taught. But like Adam, our spirits must be trained. They have to be trained. It's not automatic. Our spirits must be trained to follow the spirit or the heart of God without any questions asked. You and I can arrive. I have arrived at a point where I don't really have to question God as much as I used to. I mean, it's got to get to be a big thing now before I'll question God about it, because I'm like Mary. Be it unto me according to your word. I will simply say to God, Father, since this is new to me, what you're just directing me, I believe, by my spirit to do, since that's new and I've never done that before, I have the right to ask you to confirm that for me in your word. Or if I read something in the, well, if I read it in the word, I don't even bother to question it. But I may say, Lord, I don't fully understand that verse of scripture. So now you're going to have to illumine my spirit a little bit more to receive it. But there are directions. I talked to Pastor John day before yesterday on the phone for about an hour and a half. And we were saying things to each other that God had spoken to both of us at another time. And all that was happening was I wasn't getting direction from him. He wasn't getting direction from me. But God knows that we respect each other's relationship with the Spirit of God, that what God was doing was confirming some things for me, because he knows that I trust this man. This is not some flake just, you know, out here trying to play at being led by the Spirit of God. And he was simply confirming some things because he did not know that God had already talked to me about these things, and vice versa. I didn't know that God had begun to talk to him about some things, and we got the confirmation. And that's what, you have the right. You do not have to act on every single thing instantly, especially if it's new to you. Begin to say, okay, Father, I accept that as being by you or from you. But now you will confirm that through either someone that I trust, or you'll show it to me in your word. You'll do something to let me know that there's a second witness confirming it. Okay, and I'm not talking about necessarily through the human being, because if God speaks something to my spirit, I don't have to hear it from another person, but he will support it by some verse of scripture. And I am personally convinced that I don't have to act on it until I can find it in the word to support what I'm about to do. Because if I act on anything apart from the word, I don't have the foundation to stand on that, could cause me to fall if that foundation is not there. But if I see it in the word and it confirms what I've already received in my spirit from God, then the winds can blow, talking about the devil raging, I'll not be defeated, because I will stand there and say, but this is what your word says. I'm not even standing on what you said in my spirit. I am standing on what your word says, because you say that's a surer foundation than anything else, and it's the only thing that's never going to pass away. So I can stand on that. So that means that everything else may blow away around me, but that foundation that I'm standing on, that verse of scripture that's confirming or that's speaking to me, that's going to be solidly under me, and it may be the only thing I have left, but it'll keep me from being defeated and it'll keep me from falling, okay? There are four things that I listed. Now, this is not all that there is, but these are the four things the Spirit of God gave me to share with you about being led by the Spirit. You must know, everybody said, I must know. That God's desire is to personally direct me in this way. Say this, I must know that it is God's desire to personally direct me in this way. What way? Being led by the Spirit of God. If you don't know that, based on Romans, the 8th chapter that I just read to you, then what I'm saying to you will not penetrate. If you cannot receive that as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, the rest of it is a waste of time for you to listen to. You have to know it based on that verse of Scripture, that God wants to direct you in this way personally. He wants to give you directions this way. Okay? The second thing is, you must find scripture to support your faith to believe for it. Don't ever just get an inward intuition or thought to do something and go act on it without taking the time, because God will teach you scripture that you've never even heard before. That happened to my husband and myself when we made the decision. God, the night that I said to him about the fact that we'd been kind of at odds with each other in Anaheim, California, and when I finally just turned to him and I said, why don't you admit? Now, this was the spirit I found out later that had me speak this out because of my boldness in the front. I said to him, why don't you just admit that you want to be up there preaching like Brother Hagin and Ken Copeland and Fred Price, and you just ain't got nerve enough to do it? Well, now, the spirit will prompt you once in a while to speak out things like that, because there is no way at that point in our marriage and in our lives before he got renewed to be the sweet, gentle person that he is today, that I would have said those things to him on my own. I knew that that was grounds for a fight, okay? And I wasn't out to start a fight. So that, but it was in my heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I had frankly just got tired of him being a nudge that night, you know, and it just came out. I said, why don't you just admit you want to be up there like Brother Hagin and Ken Copeland and Fred Price preaching, and you ain't got nerve enough to do it? And when I said it, you know, I mean, it was out there then. I couldn't cover up my mouth and bring it back. And I was kind of secretly glad I said it, but I expected to have to fight as a result of it. And I mean, you could see, in the natural, he swelled up. He got like a balloon. You could almost see the steam coming out of his ears, and because I hit the truth in his heart that he had never submitted to. And we got back to the motel, and, you know, I didn't take makeup off, didn't brush teeth, didn't do anything. I got out of my clothes so fast and got in. We had double beds in that room. I got in one bed so fast, and I mean, pulled the covers up. I wanted no conversation at all, because it was getting towards the last of this meeting, and I went to bed. Now, I said all of that to see him, and I said, the Spirit of God will teach you scripture that you don't even know where it is. About 5:30, 6 o'clock that morning, I mean, after he had fumed all night long, I went to sleep. When it says he gives his beloved sleep, I immediately pulled the cover up and said, I am your beloved, I receive that sleep right now. And I went to sleep immediately. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, I heard him say, all right, we're going. And I thought, where in the world are we going at 6 o'clock in the morning? Our plane's not leaving until the next day. The meeting doesn't start until 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you know Pastor Clint, especially during those days, 6 o'clock to go anywhere was not his thing to do. He's much better at that now, too. But 6 o'clock in the morning, where in the world are we going? He said, we're going to Rhema. And I said, we're going to Rhema. I mean, we hadn't even gotten to that point. All I did was accuse him of wanting to preach. We hadn't even we talked about going into ministry 2 years early. I hadn't even suggested Rhema while we were at this Kenneth Hagin meeting, because I knew that was a subject that was a no-no. In fact, God had told me, don't talk to him about going into ministry anymore. That's why I knew that came out of my spirit. It wasn't something that I had planned to just charge him with. And he said to me, he said, we're going to Rhema. And of course, I got really excited about it. He said, but let me tell you why we're going to Rhema. Not because of what you said last night, although that did force him to meditate on some things. And when I went to sleep and got quiet, he and God began to talk to each other. I should say God began to talk and he began to listen, because God knew his heart. And he said, the Spirit of God began to question him. Clinton, you remember when you had your choir back in the 60s? Do you recall that at any time, you know, well, what the Spirit really suggested to him was that you would have given up your job to go with that choir had you been funded. And in essence, the Spirit was saying to him, is preaching the gospel not more important than that? But then God said to him, I said that any man that leaves houses, land, mother, father, children for my sake and the gospel will receive in this lifetime 100-fold. He didn't even know where the verse of Scripture was. The Spirit of God said, turn to Mark 10:29. Now, God had it written in the first place. Don't you think he'd know where he had it written? So there are times when you don't have a concordance handy. There are plenty of times that the Spirit of God will tell me chapter and verse of something that I need to know to suit a message or suit my particular case or need at that moment. So my Bible may be handy, but you know why? Because somewhere along the line I had read the Word of God and he had read the Bible. That's why I read the Bible through every year from cover to cover, because it's getting down in my spirit whether I have use for it at that moment or not. And the day will come, just like Jesus said, that he'll bring it to your remembrance. I know I saw that in the Word. Now, where is it, Father? And he'll take you to chapter and verse, or he will give you the word that'll take you to the concordance. And I've seen him do it so many different ways. So I'm saying that you can ask for the Word of God to confirm what it is that you're being directed to do. Number three, we must know what the Spirit of God is. And the spirit of man is not. We need to know what God's spirit is not. We also need to know what our spirit is not. Witchcraft, necromancy, Ouija boards, horoscopes, spiritualists. I mean, we could go on at fortune tellers. None of these things are the spirit of God. They're not your spirit. Your spirit is not that blood pump within your body. Yes, that needs to be functioning in order for you to live in the earth. But I want you to know that we're talking about the spirit of man, the core that causes him to be alive. And you are not going to receive from God by these people who charge you money little games that's played. That's that other force out there. I had a Ouija board. My mother bought one for me when my brother and I were about 4 years old. I was four and he was about six. And we played with it. It was a toy as far as we were concerned. But you know, I couldn't play with that thing more than once or twice. It was something about it. I could not tell. You know, and my mother, I don't know what she spent for it, but everybody was getting one that year for their kids, so she bought one. It was something about that particular toy that I set it aside. It was something about it. When I got hungry for the truth of God's word, there was a gentleman that I knew, and he began to give me some books and tell me some things, some truths that I hadn't even heard in church. But because I was hungry for spiritual things, it was more appealing to me than what I was getting at church. Now, this is why I know you can trust your spirit. He gave me these books. I read them, and I got more insight out of those books than I did out of church. But there came a point, after a few weeks of talking to him, that I heard on the inside of me. This was before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I was born again. I had confessed Jesus as Lord, so my spirit was now recreated to hear the voice of God. I heard something said, tell Baldwin that he has brought you as far as you can go with him. You'll have to go the rest of it by yourself. And he was calling me that week to take me over to a meeting somewhere. And at that point, I wanted God so bad. But see, that's the difference. I wanted God. And because I wanted God, God wasn't going to let me be led off into error. He was going to speak to me by my spirit and tell me what to avoid. Now, I could have ignored it and gone with this guy. But I wanted God. And he said, tell Baldwin that he's brought you as far as he can bring you. You'll have to get the rest of it on your own. And so when he called that week and I said, Baldwin, I thank you for all the books and things that you've shared with me. It was months later when I gave these books to somebody before I found out that it was, what is the term? Oh, I can't even think of it now. It starts with an M. Metaphysics. Did not even know, but the truth in those metaphysic books was more than I was getting in the church. And that's how the enemy gets to so many believers, because the churches aren't preaching the uncompromising word of God, so that the babies aren't trained enough to know when they're hearing the truth, except if you are looking for truth, God will still speak to your spirit and say, no, don't do that. Don't go over there. Get rid of those books. Don't read them anymore. And that's what happened to me. But now I did not have an immediate filling in of this replacement. I mean, he was gone. I wasn't reading the books anymore. I wasn't going to the meeting with him. But God didn't just come in immediately and insert somebody else in there to fill that gap. But I was still satisfied that I couldn't go any further. And I was prepared to wait for the next move, because now I was beginning to sense something that I could hear from God directly about things. And I wasn't going to be in such a big hurry to find God that I just go off on the deep end with anything or anybody. And so since God had blocked the story, see, I didn't even know scriptures like the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And it was later on when I found out that scripture and I remember that incident that I said, and so are his stops. Not only are your steps ordered by God, but every time there's a blockade put up before you, it is not necessarily the devil blocking you. It is God holding you steady while he lines up the things that you need to know, that you need to get involved in. And sometimes, because he's going to do it through human beings, he will have to, you know, bring, because their wills are involved. He's got to bring this one from over here, that one from over there. A good example was Charlie Fielding last Sunday getting born again here, the young man that I said in the monastery 19 years. You think about the circuitous route that God went to get him born again. He was in a monastery 19 years in England, okay? Pastor Clint goes down to Washington, D.C. and buys this Kurzweil instrument and needed some training, additional training on it. This man is now living in Florida, so he had to come from England to Florida, go to work for this company. Pastor Clint had to go to Washington, buy the instrument, bring it to Nanuet to get Charlie into Nanuet to get him born again. I mean, but is it worth it? Ask Charlie. Of course it's worth it. But wouldn't it be nice if just God, no, God is God, and we need to let him be God, and we need to be willing to be led by the Spirit. He called us the other day, and he said, a month ago, somebody spoke to him about being born again, and he laughed at him. He said, I'll never laugh again. He said, when he walked through the door of his house, his wife said to him, Charlie, have you been in the sun? He said, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. He went to work that Monday morning, and his boss said, Charlie, something, what happened to you over the weekend? And he began to tell him. Two people walked in and bought instruments from him that day. While he was up here, he would keep going outside to smoke his pipe. He had this habit of smoking the pipe. So he and Pastor Clint went to lunch one day, and he said, Pastor, I have this terrible habit of smoking this pipe, and I don't really want to do it. But, I mean, this thing has got a hold of me. So Pastor Clint said, Charlie, don't worry about it. Don't try to stop smoking the pipe. And don't be embarrassed because, you know, he says, if you want to take your pipe out and smoke it in front of me, go ahead, you know. And so he wouldn't do it then. Charlie went back home on Monday. We talked to him on Thursday. Charlie had put that pipe down and had not taken it in his hand again. He said the desire was absolutely gone, and he had been smoking this pipe for God only knows how many years. I mean, it was a habit. But what happened? Surgery was performed on him at altar call here. Being in a monastery 19 years, never having confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, was dead works. and it'll kill. But he came where the light was, and look at what God had to do in order to get this one man born again. But he's God, and he loves us so much, he will do it that way. That's why we can't give up on anyone, and we can't be concerned about what country doesn't have the gospel. Honey, if there are hungry hearts in that country wanting the truth of God's word, I am telling you, God will either bring them out of that country, get some missionary or somebody over there, have them turn on a radio, and a broadcast that's not even supposed to be on will be beamed in there at that particular part. All God wants is the hungry heart, and we leave the rest of it up to him, so we don't have to get burdens for anything. We don't have to get burdened about anything. We just simply have to trust the Spirit of God to hook up with the spirit of man wherever it is, and he'll find them if their heart is hungry. Praise God. Okay, I'm trying to finish. Well, there's no way, because I'm on the second page and I've got 8 pages. There's no way we're going to finish this message this week, okay? So we're just going to take our time, because to me, these are the most valuable lessons that you will receive. Believe me, it changed me. If I had known there's any such thing as being led by the Spirit of God as a little girl, I would not have made some of the dumb mistakes, would not have made some of the dumb decisions that I did. And to me and Pastor Clint, the most important single lesson that we could share with you after being born again is the importance of your being led by your new recreated human spirit, directed by the Spirit of God. The fourth thing, so we got to know what the Spirit of God is not. We got to know what the spirit of man is not. And they are not spiritualist kind of things. They're not horoscopes. You're not going to find out God's direction for you reading your newspaper. You want to find out from the Word and quiet time with the Lord. You're not going to find it out always crying out to God. You may find it out just sitting there. My eyes was wide open Monday. I was just sitting there looking out my patio door, praying in tongues, eyes wide open. Now, to some people, that would be sacrilegious if you weren't down on your knees. I had on a jumpsuit, you know, just sitting there. And I got this entire message. Piece of paper. Now, everybody knows you can't talk to God and be writing at the same time. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, most of the things that you hear from God are things that you should write down, because you and I aren't smart enough to think of those things on our own. So the fourth thing is to acknowledge that there is no spiritual maturity apart from the spirit of man being led by the Spirit of God. I'll say that again. Being led by the Spirit, I'll go back. One of the things is we must know that God desires to personally direct us in this way. We must find scripture to support our faith to believe for the things that God is telling us. We must know what the Spirit of God is not and what the spirit of man is not. And we now must acknowledge that there is no spiritual maturity apart from the spirit of man being led by the Spirit of God. What am I saying to you? You are not going to develop into your full stature, full measure of your stature in Christ Jesus, if you do not acknowledge that there is no maturity in spiritual matters without God leading and you following, spirit to spirit. Don't wait for handwriting on the wall. Don't wait for some sign in the sky. The worst thing in the world you can do as a New Testament believer is to put out a fleece. You get fleeced almost every time. Maybe in the beginning as a baby, God might wink at it, you know, but he's going to let you hear. And if you just put out, the Spirit just said to me, some of you have put out a fleece. And he's going to let you get away with this because of the fact that you were new at it and you didn't know. Gideon was not a New Testament believer. And Gideon put out a fleece, and that was all right then. But with Christ Jesus in us, God just told me, the Spirit just said to me, that somebody has put out a fleece in here, or somebody listening to this tape, it's somebody here. You put out a fleece, and he's going to acknowledge that, but don't you ever try that again after this message, because you'll get fleeced. If you ever try it, because he'll let you go that way this time and he'll acknowledge it. But if you ever go that way again after hearing this message today, he's warning you, you will get fleeced the next time. because he's saying be led by your spirit. Let his spirit lead your spirit and don't be putting any fleeces out there to test him. What are you going to test him about anyway? He wants you to have that thing more than you want it. But he wants you to have it in the perfect time when you are mature enough to have it. And don't push God because he won't push you. Okay? So whoever that is for, receive it. All right, turn with me please to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. You getting anything out of this? I am. Lord, I love it. I love it. We haven't sung that little song in a long time. I love it. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and the 7th verse says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Your flesh, this dust that we were made up of, is going to return to heaven. That's why we're going to have glorified bodies. But your spirit, which is never going to die, this is why we have to train our spirits to be led by the Spirit of God. It's never going to die. Even if it had not been born again, it's not going to die. Your spirit, the spirit of man, cannot die. And you and I need to begin to spend our time here on this earth training our spirit to be led by the Spirit of God, because it's not going to die. It needs to know the direction and heart of God and get the understanding of God, and we can do it because it's going to be returned to God one day if, okay? Now it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I just got something right this second that I had not seen before. Every spirit is going to return to God, either to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ or to be judged as the wicked dead. But all spirits are going to stand before God at some point. Are you following me? Your spirit, whether it's born again or not born again, is going to be returned to God, and God is then going to decide whether that spirit will spend eternity with him or he's going to have to cast it out and separate himself for it, because it is from God. You, when you were born again, even though you were shaped in iniquity and so forth, your spirit did not come from the devil. He only got hooked up with it after you came into this earth. But your spirit came from God, and to God it will return, but it's going to return to God the Father for judgment, for direction. Either he's going to accept it or he's going to reject it. And it depends on whether or not we have confessed his son. The reason for that is because, notice the Bible talks about in the beginning God created and he formed man out of the dust. Man was formed from the dust of the earth, but his spirit was created by God as a gift from God. Why? To identify him as the likeness of God. Shall I say that for you again? Man was formed from the dust of the earth. He wasn't made. The dust was, you know, he was made out of the dust, something that already was existed. But his spirit was created by God as a gift from God to identify him as the likeness of God. Turn to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, and the we're going to begin reading at the 18th verse. Well, I don't know if this stuff is, maybe it's too deep for you, but hang in there anyway, because I just believe you're going to rise up to receive it. Ecclesiastes 3, beginning with verse 18, it says, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. This is what Solomon was saying. For that which befalleth the son of men befalleth the beast. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so the other dies. Solomon, with all his wisdom, couldn't honestly see where there was very much difference between a man and a beast. But let's keep reading. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. In death, he's talking about there. all go unto one place, all are the dust, and all return to dust again. But look at the 21st verse. Who knows the spirit of man that goeth where? Upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. The spirit of beasts are not going to be returning to God. They are going to be returned to the earth just like they were formed from, because they are not made in the image and the likeness of God. There is no identity of God with beast. And the spirit of man is going to soar upward, and the spirit of beast. So while, yes, man and beast may die, don't you ever let anybody tell you that you're no better than an animal, because your flesh and his flesh may have come from the same thing, but I can tell you your spirit and his spirit did not come from the same place. Your spirit looks exactly like God's spirit. No animal, no dog, no horse, no cow, monkey, you know, anything does not look like the Father God, but your spirit looks exactly like God's spirit, and that's how you're to be identified. So man and beast may both have spirits, but man take the high road and the beast will take the low road. God, I told you last week, was responsible for providing a redeemer. Well, we're responsible for accepting, acquiring, and living in all that redemption bought. God knew man was going to need a redeemer. When man, he knew before the foundation of the world that man was going to fall. And so therefore, he had to provide a redeemer for him. But once he provided the redeemer, and once we accepted Jesus, we are now responsible for accepting and acquiring and living in all that redemption brought. Turn to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, was a verse of scripture that I received for myself, I believe it was in 1984. Yeah, on May 6, 1984, I marked it in my Bible. I said, I receive it in the name of Jesus, and I wrote down the date. It says in the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I am absolutely in agreement with God that his spirit is going to speak to my spirit about witty inventions. Things that I did not know before. Things that need to be created in the world or to make mankind's life more comfortable. I believe I'm going to receive them from God. I accepted that as for me personally, and I'm standing on it, and I am getting smarter and smarter. And I don't know of anything personally, nothing that I can market yet. There I'm receiving witty ways of sharing the truth of God's word. If you don't think kicking that little dog around last week came from God, to me that's just as important as anything that could be invented, because that said more than something else that I could have just uttered with my words. That left, and I got that from God. That wasn't my idea. That was from the Spirit of God. So I expect that God's Spirit will lead your spirit and my spirit according to the degree of light of his word that we have allowed to enter into us for the purpose of instructing us, to prosper us, and for us to have good success and understanding. Because if you look up those words, witty invention, in your concordance, you will find that it says to prosper and have good success. That's what the purpose of witty inventions are. Not just to make you rich, but to cause you to prosper and have good success. Witty inventions can be positive for my benefit, but they can be negative also. It says it can be lewd, mischievous devices on thoughts of the wicked. But since we are not receiving that because we have the mind of Christ, we only have to be concerned about what God gives us to create being detrimental to mankind. We receive everything that God gives as a good and perfect gift from him for the benefit of mankind. Okay? Satan will certainly try to tell you that you're unable to hear from God. That's going to be one of the first things he'll try to tell you during this message or after this message. Well, I heard what Pastor Sarah said, but can I really hear from God? Pastor Sarah didn't say you could hear from God. God said you could hear from God. I am merely reading to you his words. He said, as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And all Pastor Sarah is doing is in agreement with God's word and telling it to you, showing it to you in his word. But I didn't say it. the Spirit of God spoke it to the Apostle Paul to write it into the book of Romans so that you'd know about it. For as many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. That came directly from God. And any voice that tells you contrary to that, that you can't hear from God, open up your Bible to Romans 8:14 and read it to them. It says, I don't believe what you're saying because it's I am a child of God. I am one of the many. And it says it didn't have any number about how many could hear. Didn't have any figures on what color they ought to be or size or shape or sex or anything. It says as many as are. The children of God. If you are one that knows that you are a child of God because you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says you are led by the Spirit of God. Not you shall be led, you are led now. The point is, are you going to submit to it? Or are you going to ignore it? It didn't say you're going to be led. It says as are led by the Spirit of God. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, the leading began as far as God was concerned. And what has happened is because of our spiritual immaturity, we haven't always followed it. And how many times have we gone back and said, you know, but I knew that. I knew that was going to happen. You know, I thought that thing. And you and I keep thinking it's, quote, intuition. Well, you can trust your intuition if you've accepted Jesus. You can begin to trust your inward witness and your intuition if you've accepted Jesus. And what you need to begin to do now is, Father, I thank you. I am your child, and therefore I'm led by your Spirit. I thank you leading me today in everything. Every direction that I go in today will be because of your leading. And anywhere that I'm not supposed to be, you will stop it. And I'll know that you're stopping me from going in that direction. You'll save yourself accidents. You'll save yourself losses and things. And begin to every morning. Thank you, Father. I thank you that today you're leading me. I thank it not. You're leading me. You are out there in front from the time I opened my eyes. In fact, you've been standing here all night long while I was sleeping. You are standing here waiting. The moment I put my feet on the ground, your direction begins. Do I go in the shower first? Do I go have breakfast first? Do I wear blue shoes today? Do I wear purple dress today? Whatever. I accept your leading in my life, in every area of my life, because he said in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, that we're not to lean to our own understanding, but in everything, acknowledge him and he'll direct our paths. And we begin to discipline ourselves to acknowledge God in everything. That's why I say I am through giving credit and place to the enemy about anything. I don't believe he can hinder me. I don't believe he can talk to me anymore. I am listening for the voice of God leading me every day. He's out there leading, and I plan to follow because it saves a lot of grief. It saves a lot of pain. It saves a lot of time. It saves a lot of money. Just accept the fact that you are led by the Spirit of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Okay? So, Satan will try to tell you that you're not able to hear from God. You know, like, has God really said? I mean, does that verse of scripture in Romans 8:14 really mean what she says that it means? Honey, don't worry about it at all. If it's in your Bible, it means exactly what it says. And if you don't understand anything in your Bible, go to God and ask him to illumine it for you, and he will do it. I guarantee you, before you need it, you'll know what it means. Amen? Okay? He'll say, but you're not worthy to hear from God. Tell him that's none of his business. You are worthy. Jesus made you worthy. Because you're not in the place that Adam left us in. You are in the place that Jesus has restored us to. That's what we need to see. See, we weren't left in the fall. Yes, the fall occurred. We cannot deny that. But we weren't left there. The Redeemer came. The one, you remember I said the Oriental law dictate that the next of kin was to buy you back? We have been bought back. And if he doesn't think so, I dare him to come around here next week when we begin to celebrate and have a party about the fact that we have been bought. We have been paid for. The debt has been settled. And I am not where Adam left me. I am where Jesus restored me. Hallelujah. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm not going back to Adam. Amen. I'm with the second Adam. Oh, praise God. Well, let's move on if we can. Training the human spirit. It's essential. And I believe I'm going to get this much in today. Without it, Paul warns that the believers will fall away. Everybody look at me. Without training your new recreated human spirit, the Apostle Paul has stated in the Word of God that believers will fall away. Let's go to Hebrews, the 5th chapter. There will be no falling away. But we're going to find out what falling away really is all about, according to the Apostle Paul. I tell you, I'm so glad he got caught up to the throne of God. I don't know what in the world to do. He has helped to, what he recorded in this Bible has contributed to me walking in a life of victory. Verse 11 of chapter 5 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. But when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Everybody say senses exercised.
Senses exercised.
To discern both good and evil. Forget the chapter marking. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I want to read that to you and amplify it, and then I want to explain it to you as the Spirit has given it to me. It says, concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you've become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. You've come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, that is, of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action, for he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. What is the apostle saying here? And I believe the apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe that he's saying, first of all, your senses being exercised, it's an organ that has been given us to perceive and judge rightly, according to the concordance. Our senses is an organ that's been given to us to judge rightly. Okay? He's talking about slow to learn. He said training, in essence, training is going to be essential for you to develop the confidence to believe everything that you hear. Training occurs, and this is the whole purpose of this, the beginning of this lesson, training occurs when what you sense or perceive is acted on. I could give you instance after instance of where the Spirit of God has spoken to people about something. That's why when Charles Capps wrote that book, Why Tragedy Happened to Christians, I could understand it, because many tragedies have happened. Many people have lost finances. Things have happened in marriages that could have been avoided if the people had exercised their, it says senses, but it really means their spirit. The Spirit of God speaking to the spirit of man, but the spirit of man electing to ignore the Spirit of God speaking, went on to make decisions that they chose to make and go back later on and say, you know, I sensed that that was going to happen. Well, don't sense the negative. Don't think about it afterwards. Exercise, begin to act on what you sense. As soon as you sense it, support it with scripture and move out on it then under the direction of God. If it's time to move on it, God will tell you when. And if it's not time, he'll tell you then. Not now. Wait just a little bit longer. I'm setting up some other things. I was looking to hire some people recently for the position of typist and proofreader. And I interviewed some people and all. And God said, it's all right, interview them, but I'm not ready for you to hire them yet. I have to do that because you know what? If I brought, and most of the people that I interviewed qualified for the job, but if I brought them in now, could be the nicest person in the world, do you know that something would happen as far as the morale or something in the office would begin to go wrong? Why? Because I disobeyed the Spirit of God saying, don't hire them now. Now, in the natural, I think I need them now. But obviously, God sees something of the total picture that I don't see. And what he's saying in essence to me is, trust me in this too. And you know what? I have to do it. I would love it if God just gave me, just chapter and verse and it just lined out everything, but there'd be no faith in that. There'd be no trust in that if he wrote everything out for me. It's just that when he said, don't hire right now, the only thing for me to do is not hire. And then wait to see what God is going to line up or who God is going to line up. Because it may be another person entirely than those that I've interviewed. Okay? But I know that there is a need in the ministry, but God knows it too. And I'm so satisfied that since it's not my ministry, if he doesn't feel the need to have, you know, somebody in there to fill the job right now, that's perfectly all right with me. Because I am convinced that he will either give those who are here supernatural ability to accomplish the things, or he'll just delay that program a little bit longer, because when he does line it up, it's just like this facility. It's going to be so easy. I mean, when this thing finally did happen under God's direction and under his power, I can't tell you how fast it flowed and how easy it was. But it took 2.5 years of waiting before he could line everything, everybody up so that it would flow. And I don't know about you, but I've learned to go with the flow, which is the Spirit of God leading my spirit, okay? But he's saying here to proceed. But look what he wants us to begin to do. Leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That sounds terrible. What do you mean, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ? You must be mistaken. He said, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ. In other words, once you've been taught about salvation, once you've been taught about prayer, once you've been taught about faith, those things are elementary. After a while, he says, we should go past the teachings and doctrines of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belongs to the spiritually mature. Don't keep preaching salvation. Don't keep preaching healing when you can preach divine health. Why keep telling people how to get healed when you can begin to teach them how to live in divine health? Why keep telling them about, you know, this, that, and the other when you can begin to teach them about being led by the Spirit? Because if they get led by the Spirit, even when you don't have a Friday morning Bible study or a Wednesday night Bible study or a Sunday service, if this country ever got to the point, and it never will, but should it ever get to the point like some countries where the gospel could, we couldn't come down and worship in church, some of us would be up the creek without a paddle. But not if you're being led by the Spirit of God, because if you are led by the Spirit of God, this building, we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with other believers and all, but I'm telling you, I want you to get to the point that when you can't hear from Pastor Clint, you can't hear from Pastor Sarah, you can't turn on the television and get Fred Price, you can't get Brother Hagin's books, or you will get still before God and say, but as many as are the sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. And so wherever I am, in whatever country, whatever is not available to me, I expect to be led in every direction. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways, because I know by your word, Father, you're out there leading. I know you're out there leading, and I'm unleashing my spirit to hook up with your spirit so I can do the following, because you know things and you know places that I don't know about. So he's saying that we are to set aside repentance of dead works. Stop, just keep preaching salvation. And he says these things are elementary teachings. I mean, every basic church is supposed to teach about salvation and faith in God. But he says those are elementary truths, laying always the same foundation. At some point, you're supposed to stop laying the foundation and begin to build a building. After you've laid the foundation, what's the purpose of a foundation? To build a house on, or to build a structure on, isn't it? Well, that's exactly. We have laid the foundation, and that's getting you to accept the fact that you are a child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you've been restored to your rightful place with God, as opposed to being left where Adam was. But we are going to have to mature to going past that, because now we're starting to build a house, and your house and my house is going to get built a lot faster and a lot better when we begin to be led by the Spirit of God. As you are led by the Spirit of God, I'm believing that you're putting another stone in the facility, building on top of the cornerstone. And the next thing you know, we are going to have some structure. He says there about perceiving. My goodness. Perceiving or sensing your senses. Perceive means to acknowledge, behold, comprehend, understand, and see. We're to excel past the elementary truths, the milk to the solid food, which is a life in the Spirit. A life of being led by the Spirit of God speaking to our spirit. I'm going to probably have to close with this verse of scripture, but I cannot let you go today without picking up here. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified, because I know that you've read 1 Corinthians 14, and I've read 1 Corinthians 14, and anytime we deal with the gifts of the Spirit, we're into 1 Corinthians 14. Excuse me, but yesterday this came out at me. In the 20th verse, it says, brethren or sisters, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in minds be mature men. The only thing that you and I should continue to be babes about is the evil in this world. But it says that we are to mature and become mature men as sons of God. Do not be children and immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil only, but in your mind become mature men. See, it's all right for you and I to remain innocent where evil is concerned, but where the truth of God's word is concerned, he is expecting us to mature and grow up. That's the only area. Evil is the only thing we're supposed to be innocent of. Beyond that, we are warriors, we are soldiers, we are sons of God. Luke, the 6th chapter. I'm going to just introduce this to you, and then we'll come back the next time we are together. Luke, the sixth chapter. You know one of the reasons why people have so much problems or so many problems in the area of being led by the Spirit of God? In the 41st verse, it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine eye?" And in the Amplified, it says, a beam of timber. And in the New International, it says, a plank. The reason that we do not mature anymore in being led by the Spirit of God, because we are so busy taking this word, instructing other people, trying to get them to operate in righteousness, that we forget to take the same word to get the beam of timber and the plank out of our own eyes. Very quickly, and I'll come back to that, in the 39th verse there, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" The reason that God does not want us not being led by His Spirit is because if we're not being led by His Spirit, we are blind. And it says, if we are blind of the truth of God's Word by not removing the beam from our eyes and begin to perceive by our spirit the truth in God's Word, we're going to fall into a ditch. And guess what a ditch is if you look it up in your concordance? A cistern. Can the blind lead the blind? And the answer is no. But as many as are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. God is not in blindness. He's not going to lead us into any temptations. And we're going to talk about that the next time together. We're not going to be led by God except in anything but truth. God is going to lead us. He's going to comfort and counsel us by His Spirit. And I've just about run out of time, but the way to go is with the flow. God's Holy Spirit leading my recreated human spirit. Let us pray.